roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it is the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up?
Hello.
Oh, okay.
Did you like that?
Yeah. That it's sounded right? Like old school hello. The ones that hadn't set up their voicemail yet. Hello. Yeah. No. It was actually the basic one. It was the one that was people were too lazy to do it. Hello. Nobody is here to take your call.
Something like that.
Remember that?
People still do that. I hate that. The voice box hasn't been set up yet or whatever.
How many movies have you seen where someone walks in the door with a bag full of groceries, they touch a button and they hear all their messages? They had to wait, all those messages had to wait until you got home from work.
Ghostbusters.
And now people can blast you on text, Marco Polo, DMs on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, WhatsApp.
They all walked in with a brown bag. They somehow brown fit bag, all of their groceries in one bag.
There's always like lettuce hanging out of it.
Yeah. So they always take out eggs, lettuce, bread, orange juice.
Yeah.
That's like the movie.
They put in always. Their stuff in their fridge.
No ding dongs, no Doritos, nothing like that.
Yeah. And then they hit the messages and, hey, are we going on Friday? Really would like to see you.
Mm-hmm. They always make like a face, and they're doing that as they're like picking something and putting it in their mouth, and they open the door, close it, and usually as they're opening the door,
a little dog runs out.
You notice there's a guy in the background or something.
And a little dog runs out, and then they kind of wash their dog bowl, put it down.
There's always that dumb one that they mix in from that person's mom. I talked to Celia. Mm-hmm. She says she hasn't heard from you. Mm-hmm. Give her a call. And then the next one's usually the one that really matters.
I wonder what kids think when they see that.
Probably confused, yeah.
Because I'm trying to think, when I was a kid, what would have tripped me out? I think what would have tripped me out was like, whoa, they wore their jeans like that. Whoa, they rolled up their sleeves like that. Whoa, they slicked their hair back like that. Like, a few things like that. Oh, that's a cool car. That's a classic. Ooh, wow. But I think kids now are just, that must blow their mind.
But they're disgusted by us. Someone sometimes
can't get a hold of you that quickly, and that, you know, you had to wait to get home and then catch up on all that. How about that? Well, okay, so this isn't pop culture junkie or movie junkie. This is MMA junkie, and we are going to talk about mixed martial arts. Today's going to be a little, it's going to be a little different. We're going to definitely, you know, give a last push there for UFC on ESPN Plus. What are we on here? I know they're calling it Overeem versus Sakai, but they always have that technical fight night number. I don't know. I'll find it for you guys. There's the fight night number. There's the ESPN Plus number. It is on ESPN Plus. The whole damn thing is. And it's 34. Overeem versus Sakai. Yeah. I don't even know what fight night card it is. I don't even know why they do all that. And then there's the hashtag always, UFC Vegas 9. Got to get all that straightened out. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll tell you, you know, what's going on with that. And then I want to go over some kind of like not sad news. Don't worry. Nobody passed away. Well, Tom Seaver did, baseball pitcher. But no, just kind of these stories that I had lined up for today's show where I was like, you know, that type of deal. So buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, early Thursday, September 3rd.
Nama Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, so there was a pitcher that passed away. So I guess I brought him up. I'll say it. His name is Tom Seaver. When I grew up, he was a big deal because great, great pitchers, there just wasn't many. Every team had their ace, and
you had one, maybe two.
Yeah. Now there's just so many specialists, and everybody's pretty damn good. You know, there's just a lot of athletes. But this guy did two things that were amazing. Well, for one, I think he won 3 Cy Youngs. But he got his 300 wins, and that's tough to do now, man. 300 wins is really tough to do. And by the way, the guy that broke that has that record won 500 times. That's never going to be broken. But to get the 300 wins is really, really difficult. I mean, if you win 20 games, that's pretty amazing. And if you do that 10 times, that's 200 wins. So you still got to do it 15 or 5 more times. Just think about that. And then he had more than 3,000 strikeouts. That was another thing. He won a title with the New York Mets. Played for a few teams, but he passed away. And the thing that always jolts me a little is when I see they were born in 1944, because that's when Dad was born. Mm. I was like, oh, wow, okay. But, you know. I never heard of him like having any controversies with PEDs or anything. It seemed like, you know, like I was just a good guy and a big loss for baseball. All right, so this is what I meant, goes about the solemn show today. We'll end it on a high note. We'll end it talking UFC on ESPN Plus 34. But I looked at this. Leslie Smith versus Amanda Bell, headed to Bellator 245 in Connecticut. And I just thought, man, this is the young lady that I guess was trying to, like, you know, unionize fighters. She was actually born in our city, Santa Ana, California. But then I think she moved to San Gabriel Valley and then, of course, San Francisco eventually. And pretty nice. I ran into her once at Gilbert Melendez's gym in San Francisco. So I can't say a bad thing about her. I thought she was a little bit off in some of the things she said that had to do with unionizing fighters. I remember one of her big things was like, we need the extra day of per diem because I'm still traveling on a Sunday and I need to eat, you know, in the morning at the airport as I wait for my flight. When I get home, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, that's been negotiated. You travel on a Tuesday, you go home on a Sunday. They pretty much take care of everything, but I think once you've left, you know, once they've handed you checks at the thing, you got your night stay, you wake up the next day, and hopefully some of that per diem just gets you that Uber and, you know, whatever, but I don't know. I thought there was more important things to go after than that, you know, and she always kind of, I don't know, she didn't seem like she was the most prepared. You know, like with questions that were asked, because that wouldn't have been my go-to arguing that one. I mean, I would have argued.
I don't think it's a go-to, but I don't think it's out of line either. But it's not the biggest of deals, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'd be saying like retirement stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that was at the forefront. You know, it's probably just something extra. It can't piss her off that much. It's hard to make these arguments and not be bitter, too.
But see, here's the thing, and this is going to sound mean. Has anyone missed Leslie Smith since you left the UFC?
No.
Right, and that's the thing I tell fighters.
But you could say that about top level fighters, guys.
Exactly.
You could say that about Eddie Alvarez. He won a title.
Exactly. That's not a scold at Leslie Smith. You're right. Eddie Alvarez has been gone about a year now, maybe. And I mean, I kind of miss him, but has the books, you know, the financial books missed him? Probably not, because someone else has stepped up. And that's the thing. The UFC still makes money. So Leslie Smith gone, no problem. Eddie Alvarez gone, no problem. Is GSP going to come back? We don't know. The Diaz brothers, we don't know. Connor, yeah, they say he's retired. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, this thing just keeps chugging along. Now, collectively, if they all were to stop, then they would grab the UFC's attention. I'll say that once every 6 months, get off my soapbox and then move on. But yeah, I saw Leslie Smith versus Amanda Bell. It's an announcement for Bellator, and I'm like, okay, but I you do start to get it now, and why some promoters just move on from fighters, because the fighters, in a way, they just don't matter anymore, you know, when they've passed their prime a little bit. Maybe they do to bring eyeballs, maybe they have to fill up certain, you know, maybe they want a certain amount of MMA fights that are pertaining to women's MMA. But I've watched Amanda Bell through the local scene. She was the one that knocked out really cold to a lady named Marina Shafir, who was Ronda Rousey's best friend, going to be the next biggest thing, because she was also judoka. And we had Amanda on the show. She had a... I loved interviewing Amanda. She was really intense, but she was from Oregon, I believe. But she was funny, man. I liked her. But she's only made it to 7-6. Leslie's like 11-8-1. They're fighting on the prelims. It'll be on Junkie. I'll probably tune in because, like I say, I guess they've earned that status and respect that they've put in their time, you know. But I just remember, I get one of my lasting impressions will be her pleading her case. If anybody doesn't know, about 5 years ago, she was back east somewhere. And she had just been a thorn in the side of the promotion. And didn't one of her opponents fall out? And they just went, here you go. You won the fight. Mm-hmm. Here's your pay. Yeah, here's your win. Get out, right? And she was trying to negotiate. She was trying to negotiate and coming in with a hard number. She wanted a hard number. I think 100 just to show. And they go, nope, but here's your other check for the other fight. And then they were officially done. And then I think she got mixed up with an attorney who let out the cat out of the bag on some names that were kind of quietly trying to form, and it made her look bad. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't her bad. It was the person she trusted, his bad.
But she put her trust in that person, yeah. And the fighters put their trust in her. So
it and that falls person, on her I think, is versed in this stuff. So it's not like she just picked some Tijuana taxi cab driver or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. She picked an actual attorney that's done this. I think he tripped up somewhere and made a mistake. And like a lot of fighters that trusted her that would have helped her with filling out some cards as far as unionization, their names were revealed. This is going back like 5-7 years ago, folks. If that kind of stuff interests you, just Google Leslie Smith, read up a little bit about her. Like I say, nice young lady. She had that fight in Mexico, remember? Her ear was falling off.
Yeah, practically.
I don't think that was, but maybe it was my phone.
That okay. One and Sakuraba's are probably the two nastiest.
She wanted to fight. She was pleading in Spanish. She knows a little bit of Spanish. This fight card has Phil Davis versus Lyoto Machida, Gabriel Holloway versus Kat Zingano. Zingano's back. So Bellator 245. Let me see. That's their next card, and that's going to take place September 11th. All right. I'll watch it. Taylor Johnson versus Ed Ruth. Raymond Daniels versus Peter Stanonik. Rafael Carvalho's back versus Alex Polisi. Tyrell Fortune's back versus Big Jack May. We called his fights at Bama. Keith Lee, the younger brother of Kevin Lee. He's fighting Vinicius Zani. And Amanda Bell fights Leslie Smith. Okay, that's a good card. Here's another bit of bad news. Glover Teixeira has COVID. COVID-19. He was set to fight Thiago Santos. And that fight was going to go down the same weekend as this Bellator 245 card, I believe. It was, so they're going on Friday the 11th, and this fight card is on September 12th. It's the headliner. Now, here's the thing. The fight's just been pushed back to October 3rd. So let me read you this, because a lot of you are probably wondering, how the hell can they predict how Glover Teixeira's COVID infection is going to go? It says, two people with the knowledge of the situation confirmed Teixeira's positive test and the fight's subsequent date shift to MMA Junkie late Wednesday. Following an initial report from Combate, the people asked to remain anonymous as the promotion is yet to make the announcement. Well, I guess there really isn't too much info there as far as his health, but how do they know that goes?
I don't know. You know, he can test positive and be asymptomatic. True. And they could look at that and say, maybe, well,
that's what it is.
He can still train. He can still be okay. He's just got to stay isolated. Mm. But even then, that still kind of just seems like a very close state.
We have an aunt that's infected. She's 85, but she's asymptomatic.
Yeah.
And she has underlying conditions, so she'll be all right. But still, that's the novelty, I guess, of why that thing's so rare, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now what happens for this fight card? Well, Angela Hill and Michelle Watterson, they're on the fight card. Andrea Lee and Roxanne Modafferi, they're on the fight card. Tyson Nam versus Matt Schnell, excuse me. Bruno Silva versus Tagir Ulanbekov. Frank Camacho and Brock Weaver. I'm going through these names because I'm trying to see, well, what the hell's going to headline? Is it going to be the ladies' goes? Are they the most popular? Bobby Green, by the way, accepted
I think it's going to end up being the
again.
Ladies.
Remember Bobby Green for like 18 months without fighting, and now he's been fighting like 3 or 4 times this year.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
It's going to be the ladies, but it's because they don't have a choice. They really don't. Like, they something, that's not a really good card.
It's not horrific. It's got,
if you take the main event out,
Justine Kish and Sabina Matzo, Ed Herman's back, Bobby Green's back, Roosevelt Roberts versus Steamroller. I think I've said Steamroller like 3 or 4 times this year as well. Brian Barberina's back. Billy Quarantillo, don't call him Quarantillo. And Frank Camacho, Brock Weaver. It's not horrific, but yeah, I guess it. It took a big hit with Los Santos and Teixeira. All right, what are you going to do? I mean, we move on. So that'll be rebooked for October 3rd, folks. If that fight means a lot. Now, that fight, it's funny because the winner, you put a mic in their face, you go, all right, you just beat fill in the blank. You know, the other two. You tell Santos you just beat Teixeira, you just beat Teixeira, you beat Santos. Give me your prediction on Blachowicz and Reyes, who do you hope to fight? You know, now it's going to be when that fight's over, they're going to, the other guy's the champ. Man. Who do you think wins? Who do you think you'll be your first opponent? Anyway, this one's horrible. The ex-UFC fighter Abel Trujillo sentenced to probation in child exploitation case. How did he get down to probation, goes? He sends to 2 years of probation, man. Monday in a child exploitation case against him, according to Nine News in Colorado.
I mean, I guess when they, maybe he just didn't have any sort of history or something.
But you can send nudes and a video of you jerking off to a high school chick and you just get probation?
I mean, that's how things are, man.
Yeah, that's. Supposedly, he had faced 18 months in jail. I don't know if this has to do with the whole COVID and if we feel like this guy's not going to kill somebody. But a lot of people would argue that's pretty pretty right horrific. There. You know what I mean? He was arrested in 2019 when a 16-year-old girl alleged that he sent pictures of his genitalia and videos of him masturbating after friending her on Instagram and Snapchat in March of 2018. According to an arrest affidavit obtained by MMA Junkie. But yeah, he's just going to get 2 years probation. I guess when they raided this house, they found other nudes. For some reason, I always get a little freaked out about the child pedophilia thing. This is, I guess, you know, it's not a little kid, but still, under 18, it's all filed under the same thing in my mind. Can I say, man, you're a UFC fighter. I don't even know if he's got a lady or not, but he's a UFC fighter. Come on, man. Go to the local bar and just drop that somehow. What do you do? I used to fight. Really? Yeah. Oh, show me some videos. Yeah, well, I beat this guy. Oh, my God. I want to give you a lap dance back at the hotel. I mean,
it
girl your age.
There's a lot of girls that will give it up. But it amazes me how sometimes with this world filled with so many women that people can be infatuated with just one like that. Where they do stupid things.
I agree. But that's... I'd be infuriated if that was my daughter. If that's all that it went down to. All right. Here's another one. Now, you're going to tell me on this one. What's your problem, George? Nolan King had Dominic Reyes on the show.
What's your problem, George?
On the... not on the show, but he interviewed him. Great interview. Dominic Reyes loved the interview, actually.
Thank God.
It said Dominic Reyes understands why John Jones vacated UFC title, moves on from rematch idea. If you just go on Junkie and you read the recap and you see Nolan in action, great reporter of ours, Dominic's already said he liked it. What's my problem, right? My problem is that late last night I woke up and I see Dominic Reyes wrote, shitty headline, great article on Twitter.
Man.
And I wanted to get involved because I thought that was out of line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 1 a.m. I had fallen asleep and then I woke up and then I wanted to check because we're trying to connect with a fighter possibly in the UK. So I wanted to make sure I was on top of that. So I read it. So I go, well, what's this guy tripping on? You know, let me read the article and see if we're being unfair in any way. We weren't being unfair. He basically said that. He said basically along the lines of he understood why John Jones vacated the title because he realized that to be great, a lot of the fighters go and become champions in multiple weight classes, and it seemed like the right time. And he's moved on because he explains that when he got into this, he wanted to be a champion, and it didn't matter who he was going to win it from. You know, so he clarified both points. So why would he blast? He probably thinks Nolan, the kid that interviewed him, the young man, I should say, he's got a young look to him, and mm-hmm. I'm older, so I guess I call him a kid sometimes, but he's a good young guy, young fella. Why would he say that? You know, I read the whole thing, and he even had an is what it is, man, quote goes, not to fire you up.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, look, if I win the belt, it's not going to be about the next guy. It's going to be about me defending my belt and winning my belt and me being better and becoming better and developing my own legacy. It is what it is, man. The goal's always been from the beginning to get the belt. Doesn't have to do with who it's against. It didn't matter if it's against John, if it's against Jan. It's about me. It's about Dominic Reyes. I mean, what's he want the title to be? Best looking guy on the roster understands why John Jones vacated title. Though in this writer's opinion, it's probably because Jones is a little bitch and was scared of the dominator. I mean, what did he want us to write?
I really don't. The only thing I can think of is maybe he wasn't upset at the headline. Maybe he just thought it was bland or something.
Should he kind of... maybe.
Maybe that's what he means, because really, like, I don't see why you can be upset at that. So I'm just thinking maybe it was almost the opposite, you know?
Better?
Yeah.
I guess. I will go with that. I retract my statement. Sorry, Dominic Reyes. Fellow Laker fan, by the way.
That's just me trying to figure it out. But he could be the actual opposite of what we used to.
Why didn't he include that in his tweet then?
I don't know.
Shitty headline. What could he have wanted? I don't know. It still seems to me, because I know these fighters, man, and it happens. It happens every so often. He kind of talked a lot about Jones, you know, and he's attached to Jones. He had a classic against Jones, and Dominic Reyes. Just so you know, I scored it for you, man. Thought you won the fight, actually. It was so close that when they said Jones, I didn't go out and protest. You know, I wasn't in the streets holding up a sign.
I think what kills them.
But I did think that you won the fight. Nothing against you, pal. But that I don't know. I guess at 1 a.m. I just wasn't in a good mood.
I think what bothers them is I wish managers could explain these things to them. That when you do an interview, more than likely, especially if you're a pretty big name, there's going to be more than one recap out of that interview. So I think what they think is, I sat down for 20 minutes and this is what came out. You know, not even the guy that I'm going to fight. You're talking about another guy. They don't realize that there'll probably be another article on that, you know, and that one's probably going to focus more on Blachowicz, I would imagine. I think when you look at overall what came out of the interview, you'd go, okay, there's two stories. One has to do with John. I understand people want to hear about that. And the other one about the guy I'm about to fight. But I think they just react right away, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't anything that I'm going to just hold on to for the rest of the year. You know, I'll forget about it. I've already forgotten about it. And maybe you're right. He just thought, maybe he's an English major. Or a journalism major, and he just would have thought of another angle. But
maybe
should he just, I think it puts the writer in a bad mood. Like, you have to go and read it. Kind of like what I did. I'm like, shitty, what the fuck? And I have to go and read it and then look at it and then react to it and then go, what's wrong with this guy?
Well, I think you got to remember, 10 minutes
of my
like,
time was wasted here.
That means you've never given a shitty interview too, right? Like, I'm sure you've probably given shitty interviews too. And a writer's probably done a great job to make you look good.
That's
so,
a
I
good
mean,
point.
You got to be careful with things you say because people that are super critical about things, you've had bad days too, you know? Like, I mean, I'm sure you're not top notch when you walk through the door. People don't go, ah, this guy again, he never makes a mistake. I mean, you just have to be very careful with things you say.
I'm going to retract my retraction of Dominic Reyes. Take that, Dominic Reyes. We stand by our guy, Nolan King.
Yeah.
All right. Here goes the mood. Back down again. Jessica I, did you see the detailed struggles before and after having her gallbladder removed?
Mm-hmm.
She's begging for help on social
staff.
Media. Yeah, this was hard to read, man. When I was reading it, she's really, really reaching out. I don't know if it's to her friends, family, team, something, but she's just not having a good go of it. She had a gallbladder removed on August 12th, and it had to do with some stomach pains and things that eventually led to this happening. Since then, she's just struggling to recover. Her weight is not where she wants it. She just, I don't know. I maybe there's some sort of a complication, and the first thing that you need to do is get her to the UFC doctors to see, to run, you know, the blood work and see where all that's at, and then see how the removal of the gallbladder affects, I guess, the body chemistry, which is what the UFC specializes in, is seeing, you know, how they can, what kind of a nutrition plan they can go give you along with how many calories you burn while you're working out, while you're sleeping, and figure it all out. I mean, she did used to fight, to be fair, at 135. She moved to 125 because she felt like at 135 she was just outsized a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, the UFC has the resources, and as long as she's on the roster, she should be okay, right? Have you heard of her getting cut or anything? I haven't.
No, I haven't. In fact, I'm almost positive she was up for another fight, and she elected to get the surgery instead.
She did talk about a fight she took that she shouldn't have. I think it was the Viviana Araujo fight. Late notice. I think what she took hard to was the missed weights, you know, because a lot of fighters, they read that stuff, and that's one of the worst things you can do in our sport is just miss weight. So to miss weight and then trip out on everybody, like, what's everyone overreacting? That's not good. It's just something that you're going to find it hard, man. There's some people where it happens. And then we go, wow, he or she's competed 20 times. It's their first time. We'll give them a pass. That's when we say it. When they've made weight at least 10, 15 times and then they miss, then we say something like that, even though it doesn't make it right. But that's your job, man. You have to make weight. And a lot of great fighters have never missed weight, no matter what. But we obviously hope that she gets her health back together. I've always said her personality is one of the best ones when it comes to interviews and just kind of like hanging out. I think she could be a huge star if she ever had a belt. She tried fighting Valentina Shevchenko. It was not her night. But I think she's just someone you could put on ESPN and everybody would be like, oh, wow, man, she's really, really cool.
She's bubbly.
Very. More bad news. Dana White Contender Series. They're going to shut it down, goes. But bad news only for 3 seconds. That hiatus is taking place, goes. They are going to do shows all the way till. They were supposed to do it till October 6th. And they started in August, so it was going to be a 10-week run. However, it was noticed that on the Mat Athletic Commission calendar, there wasn't going to be any shows past September 8th and September 15th. We just completed the 5th. 8th and the 15th would put us at 7th. That would leave 3. Those are on hiatus because they're all going to break away and go to Yas Island. And like Laura Senko told us on Sportscaster, could they possibly... Yeah, they're gonna possibly stop the run because Dana White can't be in two spots at one time,
And so it's his contender series.
He's got to go down there and be there to oversee two title fights that are a month apart. And I don't know if he's gonna travel back or not, but I don't think he is. And so that's that. What they're gonna do is they're gonna come back in November and finish out with 3 episodes. That's why if you were paying attention to season four, episode five. He was saying, this kid and this kid, we're going to invite them back in November. He kept saying November. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So bad news is we lose our run as of September 15th. Good news is they're still going to do the 3 shows. They're just going to stretch them out a little bit. And, hey, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. He can't be in two places at one time. And for him to go back and forth would be silly. So it's... You know, it sucks that it goes away, but it comes back. It's not like it went away completely.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's kind of my run of bad news, just sad news.
But you're going to end on a good note, right?
I am, yeah. And we'll do that in just a sec.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
So, this weekend is UFC on ESPN Plus 34. Here's what you need to know. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. They're all on ESPN Plus, the prelims and the main card. The main card's main event is Alistair Overeem versus Augusto Sakai. So, again, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. You go to ESPN Plus and you can watch 10 fights. 10 fights. They start off with Cole Smith versus Hunter Azure, Marcos Rogério de Lima versus Alexander Romanov. That dude's undefeated, by the way. Montana De La Rosa versus Vivian Araujo, who was just spoken about.
I think
about.
It's going to be a fun fight.
Bartosz Fabinski versus Andre Muniz. Thiago Moises versus Jalen Turner. Kevin Natividad versus Brian Kelleher. Michelle Pereira versus Zalim Imadeyev. Carol Rosa versus Sajara Eubanks. Oh, Vincent Prue and Alonzo Menafield were cleared. I guess he just landed this week and he had to do that quick series of tests, but they're cleared. So now they pop up on this card. And then Alistair Overeem versus Augusto Sakai. So what are we going to do? We'll take it. Look. We're getting fights every weekend, and then we get the Tuesdays. I'm not going to complain. Are there some fights where you just feel like you want to fast forward? Sure. But me, because I bet them, I'm usually entertained for 6 or 7 hours on a Saturday. I find it really hard to really sit here and bitch, honestly.
What else are you going to do?
Right. I mean, NBA playoffs is looking pretty good. We got our opponent. We're going to play the Houston Rockets. They defeated the new Oklahoma City Thunder. Did you watch that game?
We're going to play James Harden.
James Harden. You don't like Big Russ Westbrook?
Well, last night, James Harden, the dude that was really just...
On defense, he won.
He's on both sides of the court. He's the guy that matters, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's us. And then I guess the Clippers get...
I do like Westbrook, though. The Lakers could have got him at one point. The only thing that holds that guy back is really his attitude, I think.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, his play's phenomenal.
Clippers get Denver. Denver beat Utah in a classic seven-game series that went down to the last shot. And Houston took out Oklahoma City Thunder. That one went down to, I wouldn't call it a last shot. It was an inbound play that just didn't work out for them. But it was close. They had the whole referees got to go and check. Replay and timeouts, can't get the ball in. It was pretty compelling there towards the end. So tune in and watch the fights. And, of course, we got you covered here at MMA Junkie all week long for this fight card in 2 days. Tomorrow they'll weigh in, and then on Saturday they go down. The fights go down, I should say, in Las Vegas at the Apex Center. 10 fights. The Ream really wants to win a UFC belt, but he's got a ways to go because he's lost to Blades, Ngannou, and Stipe, all fighters ranked ahead of him. Looked good against Stipe before getting iced by Stipe. Not looked good, but had his moment is what I'm saying. Versus Ngannou, he was never in it. Versus Blades, got dominated there.
Let me ask you this last question.
He was blasting Rosenstruck before Rosenstruck got up. Go. Yeah.
If Overeem loses the fight or gets KO'd, could this be the last time we see him?
It's a good question. I think the UFC still feels like there's something to the Ream being on a poster and headlining a card that has value.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they would keep him.
Yeah.
He's won 3 of 4. If he doesn't lose to Rosenstruck, he's won 4 in a row.
But I just mean by like, you're right. If you look at the guys ahead of him, it's not looking good. But KOs too. I mean,
I know, man. But for some reason, why is it that there's some fighters that they get knocked the fuck out? A lot of them too. I mean, a lot of KOs, and everybody just goes, they forget about it. But if it's one of the ones that's dear to our heart, we always go, oh man, that's it. You know, that ticket's been punched.
Mm-hmm.
That chin's gone. Come on, we got to look out for our fighters. This fellow's got to retire. Remember how much concern there was over Liddell?
I think I have the answer.
Dana got involved and everything. But other fighters, they get knocked the fuck out and they show up on a card 3 months later and it's kind of not as big of a deal.
I have the answer, but actually what you just said probably trumps that. Because you could use Chuck Liddell. But I think when it's a guy that also knocks people the fuck out, you tend to forget about it a little bit more than, like, let's just say it was a guy like Joe Lauzon, who doesn't really have that many knockouts on his record, right? I think that's when you're like, oh man, he can't keep doing this. But when it's a guy that also clowns people, I think you go, hey man, he's in every fight, you know, like, you never know with this guy.
Possibly.
I think. But you just brought up Chuck Liddell, and that's completely the opposite of what I just said.
Yeah, no, there's just a few of them I remember over time. And they just, I don't know, they're under a bigger microscope maybe, or they just get talked about. And then there's a few where they fight, they hop on a plane, you don't hear about them. It's usually, I guess, some of the foreigners, the Europeans, the South Americans. The Americans, maybe there's just a little bit more coverage. TMZ gets involved or more social media. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. But they all have to put that traditional, tonight wasn't my night, we'll be back stronger than ever. Isn't that what you were saying the other day that bugs you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back stronger than ever.
That was Richard.
Was that Richard? All right. All right, folks. Great stories there on MMA Junkie. Make sure you catch up. I think one that keeps getting overlooked is Kamaru Usman and Gilbert Burns is being finalized for December. The fight card there is UFC 256. On that same fight card, we might have the BMF rematch between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. And I'm not too into that, to be honest. Of course, once the fight starts, I'll watch. But I'd rather have, if Jorge's going to defend this belt, defend it against another bad motherfucker. Mm-hmm. How about Tony Ferguson or something? I don't know. But not against the guy that you clearly dominated for three. Didn't he win all three rounds?
I thought so.
Finished him? I mean, I just don't know. That seems unnecessary to me, but whatever. We're going to get on out of here, folks. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you all on Sunday night, Monday morning, and then again, Wednesday, Sportscaster. Don't forget about that one. It's a Junkie Radio, just like this one, but with video. We're out of here. Be champions.